Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, please call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Hello. Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, and we have such a wonderful crew today. We have guests. We have Dr. Katzen, who's here, Zane. We have a Judy Wilson from the Zonta campaign that says end to violence against women and girls. We have David Wilson raising awareness of human trafficking issues. We have Terry Hart for prevention focus, Girls on the Run organization and activities. And we have Linda Lusk, who is Center for Abuse and Rape Emergency Care Activities and Services. So basically, our theme today is women, girls. And you know what? I am proud to say that I'm a girl. You know, some people say, well, you should call yourself a woman. I say, well, I'm a woman, but I'm a girl, and I'm a girly girl. And I like that. I think it's fun.
It is.
And I love having this show so I can bring such wonderful guests and spread the word of what's happening in our community. So who wants to start off talking about what they're going to bring to the table today?
Well, I will start.
Judy Wilson.
Yes. Just saying, this is the time of the year where Zonta International worldwide is promoting a campaign, Zonta Says No. And in this campaign, the violence against women and girls is showcased, and there's activities of all kinds going on. Right. So to be on the radio show and to be able to get Charlotte County involved in what's going to be happening is a real treat. Thank you.
Well, look, I feel very blessed to have every one of you here today, and including my wonderful husband and our great engineer, Zane. So, and I know Judy, Zonta is celebrating 95.
That's right.
Wow.
This organization is international. And it was classified with various occupations of women, and they met with one task in mind, to improve the health and education of women and girls and have them be successful. Of course, we're blessed to be in America where women have been respected and treasured, and unfortunately, that's not true in every culture and in every country.
Well, you know, the lines are open. If anybody has any questions for any of our guests, you can call us at 206-1580 or toll-free 888-441-1580. So, Judy, this campaign to end violence, what does it involve?
It involves talking. This year, we're focusing just on awareness. We want our community to be more aware of services available to women that are being disrespected in a variety of ways, women living in fear. We are trying to work with businesses and groups in the community, churches and others, to recognize indicators of people being abused or human trafficking issues where women and girls are being exploited. People that are living in fear. Linda, what were the three words you said before that we need to really focus on?
Really, it's power, control, and isolating people. Yeah. And when that happens, the person who's in control really takes over the mind and the manipulation of the victim.
You know, your website, Linda, of care is incredible because it tells you a list of almost 12 different things to look at in your domestic relationships, that this could be, in medicine, I call them red flags. Right. All right. What are a red flag that, you know, maybe you're being abused by this other person, right?
Right. Well, if an individual is trying to control your life, isolate you from your family and your friends, if you are not allowed to have a job if you want to have a job, if you do have a job and you're required to turn your funds over, your wages when you get home, that can all be the sign of an individual who is controlling every aspect of your life. And if you're not living up to the expectation, then the punishment may ensue. Now, it can be emotional abuse. It can be verbal abuse. It can be physical abuse.
And isolation.
Isolation is a that's a very definite trigger.
And the other one I read, which I'm an animal lover, if somebody hurts your animal, your pet, to get back at you, that's horrible.
Well, one of the things that's really bad for a victim, and there are many things, but threatening to hurt or kill you, threatening to hurt or kill your children. Look at a community like ours that has a large population of elder folks that may not have children living at home, but many people have their pets that they love. That is a target for an abuser, and they will use that pet and that love to manipulate the victim and threaten to kill the pets. There are victims out there that we talk to who will not leave their homes because they won't leave their pets.
Well, you know, you have to remember that this program is a medical program. But to me, medical means health. And it's the health of all of us. It's the health of, I look at patients as a whole, you know, physical, mental, spiritual, but also the community health. And I think that's very important. And David, you talk to us about what some of the things about the community health in terms of what happens with this trafficking.
Well, the reason trafficking is on here is because both populations are controlled by physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, isolation, financial control, and intimidation. And that's one of the things that traffickers do. They disrespect women. And that's the way that's where the two things are integral. And that's why we're talking about them on the same program today.
Now, David, is the trafficking just limited to women?
No, there are men and there are children that are trafficked as well. Girls that are under the age of 18, particularly starting at 11 and 12 years of age, are particularly vulnerable. And sometimes they're recruited by their friends, people that they trust. And this is very deceptive. They use a lot of ruses to, we'll be your friend, we'll give you this, whatever you need, you know. And then when they get under control of the trafficker, things change rapidly.
So again, it's about control.
It is about control. And just a quick general statistic, with sex trafficking, about 80% of the victims are female and 50% are minor children under the age of 18.
Oh.
50%.
That's so sad.
And that is a very, very horrible life. They are introduced to drugs and alcohol to keep them in line. The fact that they are expected to perform sex acts, many people call it prostitution. I call it sexual exploitation because they're not adults to make that choice. And the money that they make is turned over to the traffickers, and they are used like a commodity and a resource until they can't be used anymore, and then they're gone, and they're replaced with the next one in line.
And
it's horrible.
They're intimidated constantly. They say, "Well, we'll kill your sister. We know who your sister is. We know where you live. We'll kill your pets."
That's absolutely true. It's the same type of a fear and threat,
and we've seen it here. In this community, there is domestic violence and people are getting abused.
Right, and trafficking. And Florida's unique because we are in a state that has a large number of labor trafficking issues as well as sex trafficking issues. And we are on that corridor between Tampa and Miami, which they are both cities that are very well known for trafficking and nationally known, which is not something that I think is great for the state of Florida to be known for.
Yeah, because of the international aspect of these cities too. People are, a lot of transients, and Florida is known for transients. So the, one of the things that we have here, Terry Hart, talking about, and again, one of the biggest defenses to any type of abuse or control is taking responsibility of your own health and body and developing good self-esteem.
Absolutely.
So, Terry, talk to us about your program that you represent.
Well, Girls on the Run is an international nonprofit institution. We do have a local branch here in Southwest Florida, Girls on the Run of Southwest Florida, and we operate as an after-school program in Charlotte County Schools. And GOTR's mission is to inspire young ladies to be joyful, healthy, and confident. And we use a fun, experience-based curriculum to integrate running. And the program is wonderful because it's really designed to build self-esteem in young ladies. And then also to give them the tools they're going to need in the years ahead. So we work with young ladies in elementary school from third to fifth grade. And there is also a middle school version of Girls on the Run for grades 6 through 8. That one's a little more direct in its approach. But the program is designed to help girls break out of that girl's box, give them the tools they're going to need to go through those middle school, high school years for peer relationships, how to intentionally make choices that are healthy for them. And we're currently gearing down towards the end of our first program. We operate as an after-school program. We have a 10-week program in the fall, and that one is winding down. We will start another 10-week program in January after the Christmas break in Charlotte County Schools.
No, but it ends with the big run, right?
It ends with the big run. Yes, that's true.
The 10-week
program, we use running and games to teach the lessons we're trying to teach them. But it also gets them geared up for a 5K race. And on December 7th, that's a Sunday morning, Girls on the Run is going to be joining the Moe's Terrier Trot 5K. That's going to be held at Port Charlotte Middle School on Midway there. And it would be wonderful for you to come out and join us. We're going to have about 173 young ladies who have just completed the Girls on the Run program complete the 5K. And you've never seen anything more inspirational in your life than to see these young ladies set out to accomplish something and then finish it. It's wonderful how excited they are at the end. And so, they all get a medal, too.
So all these young ladies are from different schools?
From different schools in the area, yes.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
So how do people who have kids get their kids signed up for this?
Well, it is for girls in elementary school, third through fifth grade.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the program, before it actually starts, we do send home notice with young ladies, third through fifth grade. So be looking in their backpacks, ask them. Like I said, we're winding down our current 10-week program for the fall, but we will start up again in January with a new program. So parents, if you want your daughter to participate, chances are they are probably already well aware of the program because the girls are always excited to share that they're GOTR girls. But ask them for the information. If not, also you can like us on our Facebook page. If you go to search on Facebook, Girls mm-hmm. on the Run of Southwest Florida, you can like our page, and we continually have updates on there about what is happening locally with Girls on the Run.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's really great.
I love the word you use, mindful choice, that you learn how to make mindful choices.
Yes.
Because that's really going to build your confidence. And when you get placed as you're getting older, mm-hmm. getting experiencing more, mm-hmm. you know how to stand up for yourself. That's my lesson for the day. Thank you.
And there is actually one specific lesson we have where we teach them if they are in a situation they're not sure how to handle, or if they're in a situation that feels stressful, instead of reacting, how to stop, think. And we have a little word track we use that they repeat over and over again that kind of, you know, breaks it and then gives them a moment to think about their response and then how to respond correctly. So we really do work with them to try to be intentional in the choices that they make.
I'm impressed with that. That is fantastic.
That's the way they won't be vulnerable to,
exactly,
to the predators.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really important. The self-esteem, mm-hmm, the feeling of accomplishment, that, yep, yes, I can do something and do it myself. Mm-hmm. That's so important. I know I grew up here in Charlotte County. What was really important for me was the Girl Scouts.
Right.
And I felt that it did so much to develop me as a person. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm shy, but I'm pretty outgoing.
Not at all.
But it was just great. You know, I was, and I to this day, we were on last week we went to a conference, and they said something. I said, well, I was a Girl Scout for 11 years.
You know, you might be interested that, and Terry, I don't think you're aware of this, that Zana International has adopted Girl Scouts and Girl Guides, which are all around the world, to initiate this year. Some of our monies that we raise are going to a program called Voices Against Violence, that they're actually putting in the curriculum, Girl Scouts and Girl Guides. So the same model, mm-hmm, of working with the young ladies and being able to have them take, the word you used, ownership of their, yeah, bodies and their thinking, that they, it's not normal to be disrespected, and it's not normal to be intimidated and put, mm-hmm, down, to have a healthy concept of themselves.
Yes, and being able to take responsibility of your health, to of your spiritual health, your mental health. And I know a lot of these girls are really young, but one of them, this feeling of accomplishment, which all of us here, we're all driven. You know, we get something done, yay, you know, you got a little goal there, you get through it. But, you know, we were talking before the program, and I was in shock to hear, Terry, that 1967. Tell us that story. You've got to tell us that story.
I'm not sure how we got on that subject, but
about running.
We were talking about running, and yes, and someone said something about women running many years ago, and I said, well, I brought up the fact that women, we weren't allowed to run races so long ago. And in 1967, Catherine Switzer was the first woman to run a marathon. She ran the Boston Marathon, and women were not permitted. So she, God bless her, what a brave woman. She signed up for the race using a man's name. She had a friend of hers who was a gentleman friend pick up her race bib. She stood off on the sidelines at the start of the race, then jumped in and ran. And she did finish the Boston Marathon despite the race director tried to literally physically rip her bib off and pull her out of the race, and she was able to get away from him.
And there's and a picture. Complete,
there is a picture. That's, there's a famous picture of him trying to get her. And but she completed the race. And then I think the next year or a few years later, she was allowed to run the New York City Marathon, and she won.
Wow.
Well, won for women. She didn't meet, but yeah, she was the first place woman. Very inspirational woman. In history.
And that's the thing, each one of us, we do not realize how much we inspire others.
Absolutely.
You know, I know Judy is an inspiration to my family, and my own mother has said Judy has had a tremendous career here. Talk to us about that too.
Well, I found a niche for myself. I was just lucky to have a gift from the beginning that I knew I liked to teach. So I had trained as a nurse way back in the 60s, and then I realized I had a gift for teaching nursing. So that was the track I took. I moved to Florida to help care for my mother, who was ill and had retired here, worked with Fawcett Hospital, and was able to get involved with solving a nursing shortage in Charlotte County. And with our local school district, we got the green light to build a vocational technical school. We finally built up the population enough in this county to qualify for state funds. And pretty much the rest is history. We have a very successful technical center here now. And their health science programs are great. And we started in the field of practical nursing, and now we've been able to partner with our community college for bridge programs for students to go on up through RN school and all. So, but every aspect of the technical center has helped the livelihood, I believe, of Charlotte County.
Men, and it's touched so many lives. Again, to get that feeling of accomplishment, of reaching a goal, to get a skill.
Yeah, Charlotte County Technical Center keeps the students here, doesn't export them. They don't run off and then move away.
Then we have
they actually stay here and work.
That's true. And then we have a little love story going here too, because David, aren't you like the first male Zonta member Charlotte County?
Yes, I am.
Woo-hoo! David Wilson. Am I correct with that?
I broke the glass ceiling.
All right. Am I correct?
Well,
right?
There's women that are Rotarians. Blair Lovejoy is president of the Murdoch Rotary. So women were never in Rotary.
And that was because Judy got you into Zonta, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, we're going to take our little break, but I've got tons more questions to ask of these wonderful guests that we're so blessed to have today. Take it away, Zane.
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A PreventionCenter.com. There's an archive going back to the beginning of the show if you'd like to catch up on some of our previous shows on a wide variety of topics. Simply visit TrianaPreventionCenter.com and look for past shows. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently, and we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this program, our numbers are area code 941-206-1580 and toll free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
And thank you, everyone. Boy, I know it looks a little downcast outside, but it's starting to get a little nippy and it feels wonderful. And we are so happy to have our wonderful guests. We have Judy Wilson, David Wilson, Terry Hart, Linda Lusk, and Dr. Katzen, and of course, Zane, who is our engineer. Linda, I have a question for you.
Yes.
About care. And again, I was very impressed with your information on your website. But this life free of fear and violence, that's such a great mission.
Well, We move forward with the presumption that everyone deserves to live in peace and harmony and have a healthy, happy family. And unfortunately, there are people in this world who perpetuate violence. Most of our victims in Charlotte County are female, but men can be victims as well. And there are individuals involved in same-sex relationships, and there's victimization there as well. CARE helps victims regardless of who you are, what your beliefs are. We are there to help people in the community who are experiencing violence.
How do you find the people? I mean, people are being controlled. They don't have freedom of movement to be able to participate in various programs outside the home. So how do you find out about people who are being abused?
Well, people have to call us. We can't go out and approach someone. That could be a very dangerous situation. But people call us. We have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year hotline. And there's always a live person, advocate, to talk to whoever calls in to us. Now, people have to be very careful. Also, on our website, If you look at information for care up in the top right corner, if someone walks into the room that you don't want to know is you're looking at this information about care, there's an immediate disappear button when you click on it. But people call the hotline, and one of the first things that our advocates do is determine, is this an emergency situation? And if it is, they need to call 911. If it's not, then they begin talking, and our advocates do, you know, most of us go through life without ever having anyone do what's called a lethality assessment and do safety planning and trying to determine how safe you are currently in your relationship. So safety planning is a huge aspect of the work that our advocates do with victims of violence. And safety planning is critical because a person has to be prepared. They have to make some plans. You try to get documents that are required for you and your children. You might try to set a little bit of money aside so that you can make your break from the violent situation. And unfortunately, when victims do leave and make that break, that is the most dangerous time for them. That is when many more violent threats or murders occur. So you have to have a plan. It upsets people, and people make judgments about victims of violence. It can take up to, on average, 7 times leaving the abuser before they make the final break. But one can't be in judgment of a person. You know, they're in fear. They're shamed by how they're being controlled. But at some point, they make the decision to get help, and that's when we begin to help them.
Well, didn't you say you give a lot of community talks? And people always ask, well, why did they stay there?
Right. Pretty much every talk I give out in the public, the question I get from both men and women is, why do the victims stay there? What annoys me is I never get the question, why does the abuser continue to disrespect and abuse her?
There you go.
That's the question. Prevention means you stop violence. Well, you have to stop violence by the person who's perpetuating the violence. Mm-hmm. I don't get a lot of requests for information for people saying, can you help me stop being an abuser? That it's unfortunate. I wish I would get that question. But what we do is encourage people to do the appropriate planning that they need.
Hello, caller. Caller, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Would you like to ask a question?
No, actually, I just had a comment. I've been listening to your program today, and I think it's a really good, I don't know, it's something really needed in this community. My daughter was a victim of domestic violence, and like many other women, I think they stay because, for her, she had 4 kids.
Oh.
It was a comfortable lifestyle, and she kept making the excuse that, oh, he loves me, and it went from bad to worse, and he did completely keep her away from the rest of us, so nobody saw what was happening. And she kept worrying about her children, what would happen if they went to a shelter. There wouldn't be room for her and 4 kids. They'd lose their pets. They'd lose their stuff.
Yes.
And now she's in jail, and the kids are all scattered all over a couple of different states. And, you know, that's a whole lot worse than if she would have packed those kids up, went to a shelter, went to a program like this, gotten help, and her and those kids would have been together. So a lot of women just don't want to, I think they don't want to uproot the whole family for the inconvenience they think they're feeling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they really need to. These women have to step up for themselves and their kids. They have to protect themselves. And they have to protect their kids. It's just, that's what they have to do.
Well, we really thank you that you shared our story. I know Linda wants to say something.
And please, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm so sorry about what happened to your family. But shelters are absolutely prepared. Women need to know that. Any victim, we take your family. We have all kinds of supplies to take care of kids when they come in. The shelters are designed to take care of an individual victim and whatever family members. It doesn't matter who they are or what their ages are. There is help for them. And we also, in our shelter, can provide assistance and help for the young children who've experienced violence in their lives and help them begin to cope with their feelings of anger and love and the confusion that they feel about what's happened between their parents.
And you're right. You needed that in the community, and she did not search it out. We weren't aware, so I said she didn't take that opportunity, and you really need to get the word out there to these other young women that
right.
are ruining not only their lives, but their kids.
Right. Well, I think you've done a great service today by calling in and sharing the story of your family, because that is probably going to call. I bet you we will have a call within 24 hours from someone in the same situation.
And so,
I hope so. You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you. And for listening to the show. Linda, what do you have an 800 number that they call?
We have hotline numbers, and we have two hotline numbers in Charlotte County because Englewood is on the west side of the county. 941-627-6000 is our hotline number, and 941-475-6465 is our Englewood hotline number. And the website is www.caref.org.
Okay. So this is really important that everyone listen be aware that there's resources mm-hmm. in our community to help in these situations.
If you feel you're being abused or you have issues, just call and talk for information. That can get the conversation started. And if you're a person who think you know someone who's being abused, please let them know that you care about them, that you love them, and that there is a place they can get help.
And it's so comprehensive. I mean, they move into the area of support of legal services, legal advice. The state attorney's office has a victim's assistant, people that will walk and give the support for all the frightening things that, I mean, it's an unknown. You don't know what calling and reporting it will, what the impact of that will be. But there are things in place. Mm-hmm. And that's part of really why Zana wants to spend this month and these days of activism coming up to just give an annual emphasis to it.
I think every one of us here today, the main goal here is prevention, preventing some terrible occurrence. This very nice caller called, the family deteriorated, all the ramifications. If we could prevent way ahead of time, if we can start young, for example, like the girls on the run, give them this incentive, show them. And in your boys, too. You were talking about, David, right, that if young boys would be taught and have role models on how to, and women, too, on how to behave in relationships.
That's exactly right. If they were taught young that was not acceptable behavior to treat women like that. Unfortunately, some of them see their parents, and so they act the same way the parents act. And so they pass it on. They think that's acceptable, and it's not.
And that's one of the things I've said about Girls on the Run, although our emphasis is young ladies and girls. Young men benefit from Girls on the Run as well by seeing young ladies model what is a healthy a female role model, by seeing young ladies who are confident break out of that girl box and are not afraid to reach for their limitless potential. So young men do benefit as well.
And we are fortunate in Charlotte County in both eighth grade and ninth grade. We have a very active, involved prevention program in the middle schools and in the high schools. And it is for boys and girls. And the focus is very similar to your curriculum. What are healthy relationships, how to make good choices, what boundaries are and how to express yourself, and also an element of bullying and how inappropriate that is. And our prevention educator talks a lot about social media and Facebook and the proliferation of all the nastiness that occurs out there with young girls and young boys. So we do have prevention going on in Charlotte County, and it's not a one-time class. They go through a series of 8 and 9 classes and do role plays, and you know, they get tested at the end of it. So there is prevention, which is a good thing, in place, but it's also good to start younger than eighth or ninth grade.
Yes, and another thing that I see, being a family physician, I hear stories, too, of actually older children abusing of their parents in terms of financially taking their money out of their accounts or taking their assets, other assets, their vehicles. I mean, in an abusive way. Elder abuse.
People can also call Care for Assistance there. We do have advocates specially trained for elder abuse. And as you can imagine, as you just described, those needs are very different from that of a young family.
Right.
They're a total different situation. But elder folks are in a very vulnerable position if they have to depend on someone to assist them.
And how do you provide security in, I mean, physical security in your shelters? Because people who are abusers sometimes are very violent.
Well, that's a good question.
And not rational.
Well, we don't publicize our location, and we only give the information out to individuals when they're ready to come into shelter. And, of course, law enforcement knows our location. And it is a secure facility, and we have various security, you know, things in place, if you will. And we have a very, very good relationship with law enforcement in our county. Sheriff Primmel is on our board. We also work very closely with the Punta Gorda Police Department. And we also have advocates at the state attorney's office. So when we need assistance, we have immediate assistance.
That's wonderful.
We are very blessed in Charlotte County to have that coordination.
So CARE is a national group or a...
CARE is one of 46 certified domestic violence centers in the state of Florida.
Okay. Because I just love history, and to try to trace back like the Zonta, that it's been 95 years.
Right. Yeah.
That's just so amazing. An organization that was for women, advancing women, even 95 years ago.
Exactly. I wanted David to have a chance too to talk a little bit about our involvement in local human trafficking coalitions and what's going on there.
Talk to us, David.
Give me a hint on that. what we're trying to do is tell people about how to spot traffickers.
And what should they do?
Well,
if they do.
There's different ways you can spot traffickers. There's a red flags. Isolation is one, evidence of being controlled. They're rarely alone. They're under constant surveillance. They're cut off from their family and friends. They're afraid of speaking for themselves. They don't usually leave their jobs or move. They're fearful all the time. Sometimes they're submissive. They have stupor-like behavior, which would be signs of trauma and abuse. They don't have passports. They don't have IDs. They work all the time. They get paid very little. They live with their other coworkers. They have no privacy. There's nine things, actually. Nine ways that they can be seen. They're in plain sight. They're in strip clubs, massage parlors, escort services, adult bookstores, bars. You know, bartenders are on the front line. They can spot stuff right away. Apartments, modeling studios. They can be found in rural, suburban, urban settings, residential housing, commercial buildings, trailers, on the street, even in open fields out in the farmlands. And there's a little quote on the front of this by Laura Letterers. She says, if you look, you'll find them. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is look around.
I think that's where Zonda's coming in, is just to build this awareness campaign. We have members that would be willing to meet with employers, small businesses, to just educate them. Because sometimes I'll encounter someone and they don't even know what I'm talking about when I say human trafficking.
Yeah, they look at you
and
quizzically.
And they think that that's maybe in New York City or they've seen it on a newscast. But I'm enjoying a year of where there has been much more talk about this. Many more groups are adopting a concern about all aspects of human trafficking. Now, Linda, you were telling us something going on at Florida Gulf Coast University.
There's going to be a symposium in January of next year that is going to be sponsored by the new Florida Gulf Coast University Human Trafficking Resource Center. And it will have people coming in who are working in the field with, you know, law enforcement, victims, services, and I believe they're also hopeful that the Attorney General Pam Bondi will be one of the presenters at that event. And there'll be more information coming out, and people can check the website too, Florida Gulf Coast University Human Trafficking Resources Center.
So, Linda, if somebody wants to volunteer or work with CARE, what do they need to do?
Well, call CARE. Our general number is 639-5499, and you can ask for me, Linda Lusk, and I can get your information and get you connected with the right people. We have folks who come in and get trained. We provide the training for advocates if you want to help people and work on the hotline or with the hospital response. We also have folks who work as volunteers at our reuse stores in Port Charlotte and Englewood. That doesn't require as much training. And we also have people who volunteer by being members of the board or members of our CARE Auxiliary.
That's wonderful. And Terry, what if someone wants to get involved in your organization?
Absolutely. We could always use volunteers. They can contact me by email. My email is Terry Hart, T-E-R-I-H-A-R-T, the number 2, at comcast.net. Also, they can call area code 941-380-1055. That's Susan Flores, our council director. And we do have a volunteer coordinator. Her name is Tara Marsh. And she can certainly help you in any, you know, in whatever way you're able to help out with us.
And Terry, I think it's really great, again, about promoting these young girls, mm-hmm. but also to get them up and going. You know, we have this obesity epidemic mm-hmm. in young kids, and more kids are becoming type 2 diabetics. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that because we know when you don't move, those fat cells accumulate, but it isn't the fat also produces chemicals which affects these young people's hormones, mm-hmm. the way that they develop, and affects their disposition to become diabetics. Mm-hmm. So anything we're walking, running, moving is really wonderful. And if you could do to promote that.
Absolutely. And we do focus on healthy lifestyles as far as nutrition and making good choices there. But one of the goals is Girls on the Run is to get them healthy and active. And if running is not their thing, we hope they'll find some activity that they enjoy and that they will do for the rest of their life. To keep them healthy. It's about lifelong fitness and health.
That's great. So if anybody has a question, give us a ring at 206-1580. We have such a wealth of talent in this room, such brain power. Ooh, I feel the energy. It feels so good. I get excited. I love doing the program, and I love that everybody is willing to give of their time to come to. And I thank you all so much. But Judy, so what about Zonta? What if we want to get involved? What do we do?
Well, we would appreciate support in two ways. First of all, in just membership. It's open to women and men that have hold in high esteem improving the status of women in all regards. So to do that, they could call us at 941-380-0877. That would put you in touch with how to join our club. The other thing, you can go to our website, zonta.org, Z-O-N-T-A. It's an Indian word that means trustworthy. And like you said, 95 years of trustworthiness in women. We also welcome contributions that would go toward our local, national, and international projects. That could be directed to us through that same call of giving a post office box.
Well, Zonta has 30,000 members in 67 countries. That also is very impressive.
You know, the partnering now with United Nations Women has empowered us to be further reaching mm-hmm. with bigger projects. So we do quite a number of fundraisers throughout the year to do that. And again, we're on the countdown now of 11 days from now, starting November 25, are the 16 days of advocacy that will receive national press and through the United Nations. So that's our big push for this fall.
So what do you mean? Every day it's like a different theme, different topic,
or different,
a different need?
Different facts, different needs every single day for those 16 days. And teaching women to not just say, well, that's really a bad thing and unfortunate, but being activists and learning how to advocate for change.
Are you only for adults, or are you in the school system too?
No, it is an adult club. But we are really trying to extend our network of other groups that are, I mean, there's other fantastic groups in our community that are doing things for women. There's the one that pays for mammograms and all kinds of areas of women's health.
Because you talked about the Girl Scouts and the Girl Guides, which are
right,
British,
doing curriculum programs for them. There's a lot of autonomy in each area. You can do what seems right for the needs of mm-hmm. your own community mm-hmm. with this particular club.
So, David, that's what you, when you became a Zonta member, did this human trafficking, did you have a passion for it for some reason?
No, I didn't at first. I didn't really understand what it was at all. But now I've noticed, I've got a booklet here called Hiding in Plain Sight, which is a practical guide to identifying victims of trafficking in the U.S. And I've got another booklet here that you can get online from, guess what, the Salvation Army. It's a 161 pages anti-trafficking training program for service providers. And this would be for hospitals, emergency rooms, organizations like immigrant clinics, HIV outreach programs, vice units for municipal police departments, community informants, all kinds of things like that.
That is really great. What a great service. Linda, what led you in the direction of working with CARE?
Well, I had a long career with telecommunications company locally, and I was in human resources. And coming out of the 60s, I wanted to make my way and be independent. And so I was drawn to HR work because I wanted to try to make things fair, that women got a fair shot in the business world. And when I moved to Charlotte County a little over 20 years ago, one of the first people that I met was Nancy Lisby, who's the former executive director of CARE. And she invited me to join Zonta, which was a great fit for me, the focus on improving the status of women. And then she asked me to become a board member at CARE. And I did that in the early 90s. And I've been associated with the organization ever since. It's my passion and my heart. And I love the opportunity to try to make a difference for women. And it just is, sadly, it's a need in the community. We are just incredibly fortunate that we can help victims of violence and that we have such dedicated advocates and volunteers in this community that are willing to do the work to help.
That's really wonderful. And is there more than one safe house, or just?
We have one shelter in Charlotte County, and that is for the entire community, Englewood, whether you live in Sarasota or Charlotte County. Englewood's an interesting community, and so is Northport, because they have areas in two counties, Sarasota and Charlotte.
Right.
In Englewood, if you're in trouble with abuse, call CARE. If you live in Northport, the services are covered by SPARC, which is the organization like us in Sarasota County. So
okay.
We have the victims covered in both locations.
Because our area of the show, actually, we've had callers from Venice
mm-hmm.
All the way down to Cape Coral in some parts, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in the Sarasota community, if you have domestic violence and sexual assault issues, call SPARC. They have the same type of organization we do. And south of us, Lee County for Cape Coral, you would call ACT Abuse. So we are all the same type of center and provide the same services. And our services are always free of charge.
So if you're a person who has no financial resources, you can still call.
You call us. We will provide the services that you need. Our very generous funders and our very generous personal donors in this Charlotte County community provide the services, and all of our dollars are used in Charlotte County.
That's incredible. That's really great. That's really great. And the Zonta, they're going to start their 16 days?
Yes, of advocacy, November 25.
So you, could you give us some number, like the first day is for?
Yes, I do not know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think they keep it as under belt and just premiere it each day as they go. They don't have an outline of that they're sharing yet of what each of the 16 days is. They're
looking for the surprise impact,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Asking us to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm. And every year they do this?
This is the second year.
Okay.
The second year
for the Days of Advocacy. So everyone here is passionate about what they're doing to help others, to help other humans, and specifically helping women. But you help women, you help the whole family. It's the whole group.
That's exactly right.
And you help the whole community by just helping one person. How much you can do. I find it very rewarding. Every one of you has such a great smile in your face.
Well, it's really nice that you've got this program too, because you know, you're for health, and that's the health of the community. So you're actually spreading it in a broader sense, and we appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share the information, because the more people that know about it, the more people that we can all help, which is exactly what we're trying to do.
And again, the key here is prevention.
Prevention.
We're trying to prevent the terrible things from happening, or at least be prepared. And one of the things is prevention of violence or abuse of women, children, and other humans. And animals, too.
That's right. Yeah, sometimes they say they start with animals.
So we're winding up the show. I want to thank each of you. And if you each want to have a parting word, you're welcome to. David?
Well, I want to again reiterate a lot of the causes of abuse of women and human trafficking are overlapping. And
okay.
That's why it's covered under this program today.
Judy Wilson, thank you.
Thank you. Just that Zonta is a local organization, service organization that really wants to find ways to promote health and safety of women in Charlotte County.
And Terry Hart?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm passionate about Girls on the Run. Please join us on Sunday, December 7th at the Moe's Terrier Trot 5K to cheer on our local young ladies as they complete that 5K and finish up the Girls on the Run program. Thank you so much.
And Linda, thank you.
I'm going to give our call-in numbers. You know, if you think you know someone who needs help, or if you have questions, please call our numbers, 941-627-6000 or 941-475-6465 for Englewood. Free and confidential. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank everyone. Thank you, Dr. Katzen. Thank you, Zane. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Stay healthy and don't go down that slippery slope. God bless you all.
WCCF, Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte.